Would the House please come to order? Would the members please indicate their presence by voting to establish a quorum? We do have a quorum present to conduct business today. The invocation today will be presented by Pastor John Padden of the Church of Christ. Would the members please rise?
Dearest God, thank you for today. Thank you for light that shines in the darkness. Thank you for the people of Alaska. Thank you for each of Alaska's people. Thank you for the elders and grandmothers. Thank you for the children. May we here serve their abiding interests, not parochial ones. Thank you for mountains, plains, rivers, streams, lakes, seas. Thank you for the hemlock and spruce, for the lupin and forget-me-not, for the salmon and halibut, the eagle and ptarmigan, for the wolf and bear. May we here keep them throughout the generations, not to lose them forever. Thank you for rocks, for gold, for oil. May we here use these to strengthen the people, not to despoil the land. I come to you in the name of Jesus, the light. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Padden. Representative Robinson, will you please lead us in the pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Martin?
Yes, thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to give special thanks to our pastor for the week for his special prayers, especially for the prayers this morning, because he probably doesn't know we have an awful lot of geography teachers with us this morning, so I'm sure they took meaning in your prayer. And with that, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent for prayer to be spread in the journal.
Without objection, the prayer will be spread across the journal. Would the clerk please certify the journal for the previous legislative day?
I certify the correctness of the journal for the 95th legislative day.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent. The House Journal is certified by the Chief Clerk be approved.
Without objection, the journal will be approved. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, may the journal reflect that the following representatives have previously been excused from the call of the House for today. Representative Betty Davis, Representative Mackey, Representative Parnell, and Representative Navarre has previously been excused today, but he is with us today. The clerk, would please open the roll. Thank you.
Without objection, those members shall be approved, shall be shown as excused. Representative Martin. Getting to there.
Okay.
Oh. Do we have guests today for introduction? Representative Martin.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. We're very pleased to have with us an awful lot of teachers, and I'm sure they're going to be introduced by different members of the areas. But I am pleased to introduce to you two very special people. And, Madam Speaker, if you let me have the weekend off, I would be able to join them and get another credit for my teaching certificate.
But good I don't try, know if that's in the card. Martin.
The first guest I'd like to introduce is a gentleman who is the president emeritus of the Alaska Geography Society. He is the gentleman that is responsible for those special maps that we passed out at the beginning of the year that for the first time gave you a true proportional map of Alaska, and many of you have those in your packet. And by special request by one of our pages, we wanted to emphasize that he is now living in Angoon. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm welcome to Mr. Bob Henning. And a second guest, oh, by the way, on those maps, Bob is so meticulous. If you spot a little river, if you spot a little town, if you spot anything, please let him know because he wants to have the most up-to-date map Alaska ever produces. The next special guest is from the National Geography Society, and many people do not know that over the past almost 10 years now, they have given to the Alaska Alliance, a special group of teachers, $50,000 a year for a summer program. And no pushing, no problem, no nothing. They believe in Alaska. They believe in geography. And they support it with their financial well-being. And the representative today from the Natural Geography Society is Miss Mary Jo Dunningham. And last year, a lot of you might realize for the first time, a special edition and a fold map was in the Alaska Geography magazine, the National Geography Society magazine. So I'd like to introduce her, Miss Mary Jo Dunningham.
Further guests for introduction, Representative Foster.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to add that Mr. Henning was telling me earlier that he sat here in the right corner covering the legislature 50 years ago, and I wanted to welcome also, so thank you.
Further guests, Representative Bryce.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. With the social studies teachers, I have a constituent of mine down from Fairbanks. Not only is he a teacher, but he's also a member of the second best Kiwanis Club in the state. Of course, the Kiwanis Club that I'm involved in is the best, but please help me welcome Mr. Steve Click from Fairbanks.
Representative Elton.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Also with our special group today is a good friend, and despite that, a very good person, Marge Menzies with the Department of Education.
Representative Gary Davis.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. In the Pradovich Gallery, have a constituent from Sterling, an active senior member from the Sterling area, Miss Eleanor Rindall.
Representative Kavina.
Good morning, Madam Speaker.
Good morning.
In the Taylor Gallery, I'd also like to introduce a social studies teacher, one, by the way, I have great affection for since I am sometimes a social studies teacher, but this is a friend from Valdez, a teacher in Valdez, also a good poker-paying partner, Steve Daly.
Representative Williams.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I also have a teacher from Ketchikan in the Pratovich Gallery, Phyllis Aldrich.
Further guests for introduction. Representative Terrio.
Speaker, also with the group down today, I have two constituents, Jill and Carl Addington.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I also see in the Pradovich Gallery school teacher from the Soldotna area. I believe she's a constituent of yours, Madam Speaker. I know she used to live in my district. I'm not exactly where her residence is right now, Miss Nancy Cartwright.
Representative Foster.
Yes, ma'am. I'd like to introduce somebody behind me in the Taylor Gallery, formerly of the 5th Marine Division, a combat veteran of Korea, and then later with ARCO, a near and dear friend of mine, Hank Rosenthal.
Further guests for introduction, Representative Coring.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I've just been informed that I have a constituent here who's a school teacher from Wasilla. She's here for the leadership conference that's being underway here in June. Her name is Robin Bissey.
Further guests? This brings us down the calendar to messages. Does the clerk have messages from the governor?
No, Madam Speaker.
We have messages from the other body.
A message dated April 20th stating the Senate has passed House Bill 215 amended with the following amendment. Senate CS for House Bill 215 rules an act relating to suspension of a student from a public school, and it is returned for consideration. Messages dated April 20th stating the Senate has passed the following, and they're transmitted for consideration. CS for Senate Bill 26 financed by the Senate Finance Committee entitled an act providing for automatic waiver of juvenile jurisdiction and prosecution of minors as adults for certain violations of laws by minors who use deadly weapons, do commit offenses that are crimes against a person and relating to the sealing of the records of those minors.
That'll be referred to Judiciary and Finance.
CS for Senate Bill 53 by the Senate Judiciary Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Regulation of Risk Retention or Purchasing Groups, to preemption of the regulation of insurance agents and insurance producers, to the general powers of the Director of the Division of Insurance to insurance examination hearings to insure certificates of authority to annual and quarterly statements, taxes, and prohibited acts of insurers to reinsurance credit allowed a domestic insurer to risk-based capital for insurers to insure assets and liabilities to insure investments to insurance holding companies to regulation licensing examination and trade practices of insurance producers, managing general agents, third-party administrators, brokers, independent adjusters, and reinsurance intermediary managers to surplus line insurance, to criminal insurance acts, to premium increases in automobile insurance, to insurance ratings, to assigned risk pools, to filing and approval of certain insurance policies.
That'll be referred to Labor and Commerce and Judiciary.
Thank you. CS for Senate Bill 87 by the Senate Finance Committee entitled An Act Relating to the Membership of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board Relating to Community Local Options for Control of Alcoholic Beverages Relating to the Control of Alcoholic Beverages Prohibiting Persons from Being on Premises Involving Alcoholic Beverages Under Certain Circumstances Relating to the Definition of Alcoholic Beverage Relating to Purchase and Sale of Alcoholic Beverages Relating to Alcohol Server Education Courses and Providing for an Effective Date.
That'll be referred to Community and Regional Affairs and Judiciary.
CS for Senate Bill 117, Hess, by the Senate Health Education Social Services Committee entitled An Act Establishing a Statewide Independent Living Council and Clarifying its Relationship with Existing Agencies and Providing for an Effective Date.
That'll be referred to Hess Committee and Finance.
Senate Bill 135, amended by the Senate Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Permanent Fund Dividend Program Notice Requirements to the Ineligibility for Dividends of Individuals Convicted of Felonies or Incarcerated for Misdemeanors and to the Determination of the Number and Identity of Certain Ineligible Individuals and Providing for an Effective Date.
That'll be referred to Finance.
I have no further messages from the other body, Madam Speaker.
Do we have communications today?
There are no communications.
Do we have reports of standing committees?
The House Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the appointments to the University of Alaska Board of Regents, Joe J. Thomas and Chancey Croft. The reports were signed by Tui and Bundy co-chairs, G. Davis, Rokeberg, Bryce, and Robinson. The reports indicated that it is not the intent of any of the members to vote for or against this individual during any further sessions for the purposes of confirmation. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 38, Sentencing Third Serious Felony Offender, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 38, Judiciary, with the new title, attaches two fiscal notes, 2-0 fiscal notes, recommending Dupass, Martin, and Grusendorf. No recommendation, Hanley, Kelly, Coring, and Foster. Amend, Brown, and Terrio. The report was signed by Hanley and Foster co-chairs. House Bill 38 has no further referral. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has considered House Concurrent Resolution Number 18, University of Alaska Student Housing, attaches a zero fiscal note recommending Dupass, Tui. No recommendation, G. Davis, Bundy, and Robinson. Amend, Rokeberg, and Bryce. The report was signed by Bundy. Co-chair, HCR 18 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Community Regional Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 154, Regulatory Taking of Private Property, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 154, CNRA, with the new title attaches a fiscal note and 2-0 fiscal notes, recommending do pass, VZ, do not pass, Elton. No recommendation, Osterman and Ivan. Amend, Cott. The report was signed by Ivan and Osterman co-chairs. House Bill 154 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has considered House Bill 226, Repeal of Marital Status Protections, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 226, Hess, with the new title, recommending do pass, TUI. No recommendation, G. Davis, Bundy, Robinson, and Bryce. Amend, VZ. The report was signed by Bundy. Co-chair, HB 226, has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has considered House Bill 229, Prohibit Loud Vehicle Sound Systems, attaches a zero fiscal note recommending do pass, Rokeberg and Tui, do not pass, Robinson. No recommendation, Bundy and Bryce. Amend, G. Davis. The report was signed by Bundy, co-chair. House Bill 229 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 286, Cruise Ship Gambling and Promotions, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 286, Finance, with the same title, recommending do pass, Hanley, Brown, and Foster, do not pass, Martin. No recommendation, Coring, Grusendorf, Kelly, and Terrio. The report was signed by Hanley and Foster co-chairs. House Bill 286 as no further referral. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has considered House Bill 309, Approve U of A Debt for Student Housing, attaches a fiscal note recommending due pass 2E, no recommendation, G. Davis, Bundy, Robinson, Amend, Rokeberg, and Bryce. The report was signed by Bundy, co-chair. House Bill 309 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. I have no further standing committee reports, Madam Speaker.
This brings us down to reports of special committees. This clerk has reports of special committees.
The House Special Committee on World Trade and State-Federal Relations has considered House Joint Resolution Number 31, endorse federal flat income tax, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Joint Resolution 31, WTR, with the same title, attaches 2-0 fiscal notes, recommending due pass, Williams, Cabina, G. Davis, and Barnes. The report was signed by Barnes. HJR 31 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The House Special Committee on World Trade and Federal Relations has considered House Joint Resolution Number 39, attaches 3-0 fiscal notes, recommending due pass, Williams, Cabina, G. Davis, and Barnes. The report was signed by Barnes Chairman. HJR 39 has a further referral to the Transportation Committee. The House Special Committee on World Trade and State Federal Relations Committee has considered House Joint Resolution Number 41, Jones Act Exemption for Bulk Commodities, attaches a 0 fiscal note, recommending due pass, Williams, G. Davis, Barnes. No recommendation, Cabina. The report was signed by Barnes Chairman. HJR 41 has a further referral to the Transportation Committee. I have no further special committee reports, Madam Speaker.
Do we have citations or resolutions today for introduction?
A citation honoring Cavalook Middle School for the Inupiaq numeral system by Senator Adams. I have no further citations or resolutions for introduction.
Do we have bills today for introduction?
House Bill 316 by Representative Mulder, entitled An Act Relating to Civil Liability for False Claims and Improper Allegations or Defenses in Civil Practice and Providing for an Effective Date.
That'll be referred to Judiciary.
House Bill 317 by Representative Finkelstein, entitled An Act Relating to Election Campaigns, Election Campaign Financing, the Oversight and Regulation of Election Campaigns by the Alaska Public Offices Commission, the Activities of Lobbyists that Relate to Election Campaigns, and the Definitions of Offenses of Campaign Misconduct and Providing for an Effective Date.
I'll be referred to State Affairs, Judiciary, and Finance.
House Bill 318 by Representatives Toohey and B. Davis, entitled An Act Relating to Advanced Directives for Mental Health Treatment.
That'll be referred to Hess Committee and Judiciary.
I have no further bills for introduction, Madam Speaker.
This brings us down the calendar to consideration of the daily calendar. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar? First item.
House Bill 65 by Representatives Porter, Davies, Bryce, Brown, Mackey, B. Davis, Finkelstein, Cabina, Cott, Elton, Foster, Ivan, Robinson, and Nicolai, entitled An Act Establishing a Loan Guarantee and Interest Rate Subsidy Program for the Assistive Technology. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered the bill, attached a fiscal note recommending due pass, Cott, Rokeberg, Sanders, and Masick. The report was signed by Cott. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 65 Hess with the same title, recommending due pass, Rokeberg, G. Davis, Bundy, Toohey, Robinson, and Bryce. The report was signed by Bundy, co-chair. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 65 Hess with the same title, recommending due pass, Hanley, Mulder, Martin, Brown, Kelly, Terrio, and Foster. The report was signed by Hanley and Foster, co-chairs. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Hess Committee substitute for House Bill 65 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Hess Committee substitute will be adopted. Does the clerk have amendments on her desk?
Yes, Madam Speaker. Amendment number 1 by Representative Porter, beginning page 2, line 6.
Representative Porter.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would move amendment number 1.
Is there objection? Without objection, amendment number 1 is adopted. Does the clerk have further amendments on her desk?
No, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader. Mr. Majority Leader.
I'm sorry, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 65 has be considered in gross advance of third reading and placed on final passage.
Without objection, we are under third reading. The clerk please read the title for the third and final time.
CS for House Bill 65 Hess, amended by the House Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, titled An Act Establishing a Loan Guarantee and Interest Rate Subsidy Program for Assistive Technology.
We're under debate. Representative Porter.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. For the information of the body, the amendment was actually passed in Hess and inadvertently by the bill drafter not included in the bill, so most properly it should have gone in. The amendment just tightened up the loan provisions a little bit to make sure that the money would be loaned for the right purposes. Madam Speaker, the bill itself is one of those bills that's very hard to speak against. It is a bill that would provide existing federal money to be utilized through existing banking institutions to be available for assistive technology loans, so the money would be repaid and be, in effect, a perpetual loan account that will build over the years. The assistive technology for people with disabilities would be available to allow them to have a better quality of life, but also to be into the mainstream in terms of being able to have jobs and function better independently. The bill itself will, and I will be addressing this, by the way, at a later time, but the bill itself allows those of us who feel that we like to provide an opportunity to enhance the quality of life of those that are not as fortunate as we are, the ability to do so. It also provides the opportunity for those of us that would like to assist people to become independent and self-producing, the opportunity to do so. It is the typical win-win bill, and I would ask members' support. Thank you.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt committee substitute for House Bill 65 Hess, amended House? Would members please proceed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
37 yeas, 0 nays.
And so, committee substitute for House Bill 65 Hess, amended House, has passed the House. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Joint Resolution number 43 by the House Special Committee on Fisheries relating to commercial fishing and subsistence use in Glacier Bay National Park. The House Special Committee on Fisheries considered the resolution recommends it be replaced with CS for House Joint Resolution 43 Fish with the same title, attached to zero fiscal note recommending due pass G. Davis, Osterman, Moses, Elton, and Ogan. The report was signed by Osterman Chairman. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Fisheries Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 43 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Special Committee on Fisheries Committee substitute will be adopted. Does the clerk have amendments on her desk?
No, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 43 Fish be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and place on final passage.
Without objection, we are under third. Would the clerk please read the title for the third and final time?
CS for House Joint Resolution 43 Fish by the House Special Committee on Fisheries relating to commercial fishing and subsistence use in Glacier Bay National Park.
We're under debate. Representative Osterman.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This is pretty a straightforward resolution. Long before the Glacier Bay was turned into a national monument and into a national park, commercial fishing and subsistence fishing was taking place in this area. And just since 1990, they've decided that that they need to eliminate and stop commercial fishing and subsistence in that area. And this resolution just basically asks the National Park Service to let it continue to allow like it has been. If there's any questions, we have other legislators here that are well versed on the Southeast issues.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt committee substitute for H.J.R. 43 Fish? Would members please proceed to vote? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
37 yeas, 0 nays.
And so, committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 43 Fish has passed the House. Representative Cabina? House, stand briefly at ease. House, come back to order. House, please come back to order. clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Resolution Number 30 by Representatives Veazey and Toohey relating to an amendment to the Constitution of the United States prohibiting federal courts from ordering a state or a political subdivision of a state to increase or impose taxes.
Debate? Representative Finkelstein?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd rather... Thank you, Madam Speaker. I did see this bill in one of the committees. I at first thought it was a pretty reasonable-sounding legislation. The more I looked into it, I got concerned. I'd rather... Hear why this is a good idea before I offered any comments.
Further debate? Representative, Mr. Majority Leader?
Madam Speaker, this resolution is fairly simple. It urges the Congress to propose an amendment to the Constitution that would overturn the current law of the land as established by the judicial branch of government, wherein the judicial branch of government has given itself the right to assess taxes on political subdivision states and political subdivisions of the states. I believe that everybody in this room would clearly recognize that that violates our sense of separation of powers, and this resolution is merely encouraging the Congress to propose an amendment to the Constitution that would affect that.
Further debate? Representative Bryce?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I definitely see the rationale behind it, but it's sort of like, is there a great need? Does this happen often? How many times does it happen? Generally, when we pass resolutions, it's to address specific problems or to address specific concerns. And I'm not sure of any instances in the state of Alaska whereby the courts have ordered the imposition of a tax. And I was just wondering if any of those occurrences have been taking place in this state.
Further debate? Representative Porter?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Now that I'm properly attired, I don't feel comfortable about rising to...
Thank you, Representative Porter.
Thank you. The bill was heard in judiciary, and the case that generates the concern is a case that happened in St. Louis. As was mentioned, that a district court ordered the St. Louis County to institute a tax to enforce a school desegregation order. That sounds like this would then be running afoul of those kinds of principles. Please believe me, that is not the intent of this resolution. Any court order in the civil rights area or any other area would still certainly be available and enforceable as they are now. The issue is the court went that one step further and said, and this is the way you will solve that problem, by increasing your mill rate tax and using it for this purpose. That clearly is overstepping the bounds of the separation of powers, and that is what this is trying to address. Any other court orders regarding civil rights actions or any other actions would be enforceable, but the method of raising money to implement court orders should most properly be left with the legislative branches of government. Thank you very much.
Further debate? Representative Finkelstein?
Thank you, Madam Speaker, and thank you. Appreciate those members describing their view of this bill. The thing we've got to remember is, what's the alternative? This particular power, the power of the courts to make sure that provisions of our Constitution, especially in this case, equal treatment of our citizens, that those are not ignored by a local government. Now, Madam Speaker, the case here that this has occurred is apparently over one case that occurred recently in Missouri, and then the only other case I've been able to find or that was presented on the hearing was 26 years ago it occurred. And, Madam Speaker, both of these cases involve equal justice treatment, cases where you've got, and in most cases, I don't know the particulars, but the general category is minority kids going to really crummy schools where there's very little public funds being spent, and then usually white kids go into a much better school, well, a higher level of public funds are spent. That's what our U.S. Constitution and Supreme Court decisions have been dealing with for decades. That were the issues of civil rights in the South, fair treatment of our people. And, Madam Speaker, we can be absolutely sure that the Supreme Court and the court system has only resorted to any attempt to enact any local tax as the absolute last resort in a circumstance where you've got completely recalcitrant local officials. I mean, absolute last resorts. We only have two cases in the last 26 years, and after that first case, and in the early 70s, Congress enacted a statute that directs federal courts to use this taxation power only as a measure of last resort when there's no other alternative available for remedying a constitutional violation. These are never going to be minor kind of things. These are just absolute constitutional violations of people's civil rights. Madam Speaker, in judiciary, we luckily had our member from District 21 there. I'm sad that she isn't here today. She grew up in situations in the southern U.S. where she could probably speak a little better than many of us could to the situation. It is not a kind of situation that's a usual situation. The times when the court has come in and tried to impose this kind of role is very extreme, and if you believe in civil rights and you believe in equal treatment, what other alternative is there? The member who's the chair of judiciary points out that it just prohibits them from this step. Well, what else do you do? You've got a circumstance where you've gone through every possible court order, every hearing, every last appeal. Now the circumstance is that this local government refuses to bring up and put any resources into the schools where the minority kids go. Then what's their alternative? I suppose they could order that the school where the white kids go gets reduced funding. But that's a little bit counterproductive, and I certainly don't think that's the intent of the Constitution, is to bring down everyone to the lowest level. I can't imagine that'd be a realistic alternative people would suggest. There aren't individuals' assets they can go after, particularly. These are government. It certainly isn't going to achieve any purpose to go after the local government's personal bankrolls. There may not be money to be ordered to be spent out of the local government's coffers. They consider every single alternative, and two times in 26 years they've concluded that in order to serve the needs of our citizens, in order to create equal justice for all the people in our country, they had to resort to this. And why we'd want to take on in a resolution saying that this is absolutely banned, that it can never be done in even the most completely extreme discriminatory situation, I just can't imagine why we'd want to do that. It makes no sense whatsoever, and I certainly think it's the most anti-civil rights measure, civil rights resolution I've seen on the floor of this body. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further debate, Representative Grusendorf.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Speaker. When it comes to municipal charters, Constitution of this state or the Constitution of the United States, I have a tendency to be very, very cautious when I look at proposals that suggest to change them. And I looked at the sponsor's statement here, and evidently a fellow by the name of Bill, who's a representative of Missouri, contacted the majority leader and asked him to introduce this resolution. Now, Madam Speaker, I know hundreds of bills in the state of Alaska, and I probably know of thousands of them in the United States, and I haven't had one of those talk to me about this particular problem. And it kind of makes you wonder when, you know, you have an individual from one state contacting us, what is this person like? I mean, if you know hundreds of bills, and I do, what is this person like? Do his friends and his political foes consider him to be CB or Crazy Bill? Or because his last name happens to be Skaggs, do they simply call him BS? So, Madam Speaker, you know, in order to understand this man from Missouri, I'd have to see him to believe him and listen to him. And it gets me to the point of what most concerns me is, have any of you heard that this is a problem? Do we want to keep sending resolutions to the United States Congress one after another that has no major significance, so when we do have something that's important, that they'll say, hey, this is from Alaska, what are they interested in? The other day we had a resolution, and wisely we cleaned it up to make it make sense by taking a paragraph out of there that would have been the whole focus of that resolution. So what I'm asking this body is to think very carefully about what we are sending out of this body as our will and our desire. Until I hear from at least one bill in my district, I will not support this.
Further debate? You ready for the question? Question being, shall the House pass House Joint Resolution 30? Would members please proceed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
25 yeas, 12 nays.
And so House Joint Resolution 30 has passed the House.
Madam Speaker.
Representative Navarre?
Yeah, I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Joint Resolution 30.
Notice of reconsideration has been given. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
There are citations on today's calendar.
Mr. Majority Leader?
Madam Speaker, move and ask unanimous consent the citations on today's calendar be approved.
Without objection, the citations on today's calendar are approved. This brings us down to unfinished business. Mr. Majority Leader?
Madam Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that the members go into the limbo file in order that we may consider House Bill number 215 amended, an act relating to the suspension of a student from public school. Madam Speaker, for the information of the body, I have checked with the HES Committee co-chairman, and they have expressed no opposition to the changes made by the Senate Rules Committee substitute. I would like to briefly explain the changes made by the Senate Committee substitute. The changes made in the Senate Committee substitute are on page 2, section 2, lines 10 through 13. There is a 1949 law on the books for the University of Alaska that stipulates that only the president of the university can suspend or expel students. At that time, there was only one university in Fairbanks. This amendment allows the president to delegate the exercise of the power to the chancellor or another official on each campus of the university or to the administrative head or director of a community college or other campus or extended unit of the university. With that, Madam Speaker, I move that the House concur in the Senate Committee substitute for House Bill number 215 amended, thus adopting Senate Committee substitute for House Bill number 215 rules.
Is there a debate? Representative Navarre?
Yeah, I just ask... whether within the title, you know, it doesn't specifically say university, and whether the definition of public school would include the university.
Representative Bundy?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. As I was in a committee that heard that bill, this question came up, and we did get advice from Mr. Chenoweth that he believes and his colleagues believe that the public school could, on a common sense basis, be construed to embrace the University of Alaska.
Further debate? Representative Navarre?
Madam Speaker, if we were exercising the proper degree of common sense in this body, I would probably agree with that interpretation. And as far as common sense goes, the test is not whether it meets common sense generally, but whether or not it meets a legal test. I think maybe it can be stretched to cover this. I don't know from a legal standpoint, but I guess happy to see that we're going to exercise more common sense in this body.
Further debate on the motion to concur. Ready for the question? The question being, shall the House concur in the Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 215 rules? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk, please tally the board.
37 yeas, 0 nays.
And so the House has voted to concur in the Senate Committee substitute amendments. Further unfinished business. Mr. Majority Leader. This brings us down to...
Oh, I'm sorry, Madam Speaker. I do have some unfinished business. Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the following representatives be excused from the call of the House for the following dates. Representative Davies from 6:35 p.m. Friday, April 21st until 9:25 a.m. Plain Time, Monday, April 24th. And Representative Cabina from 9 o'clock a.m. Monday, April 24th until 6 o'clock p.m. Plain Time, Monday, April 24th.
Without objection, those members will be excused.
Brief at ease, please.
I'll stand at ease. House, come back to order. Under unfinished business, Representative Davis.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I'd like to request a waiver of two resolutions from Transportation Committee. They were just entered into the committee today. One is the HGR 41 as a Jones Act exemption for bulk commodities. It relates to should we get coal mines operating where we can ship to foreign ports, then we will be able to provide that. And I've checked with all the members of the Transportation Committee. They don't have any problem. The other one is HGR 39 relating to the Northern Sea Route, and is just requests various agencies of the state and federal governments to continue their work in trying to encourage efforts on the Northern Sea Route towards international trade and increase economic opportunities for Alaska. I've again checked with all members of the Transportation Committee, and nobody has any problems with waiving those bills from committee.
Without objection, those two bills will be waived from the Transportation Committee. Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to also move and ask unanimous consent to waive a bill from the Finance Committee. That's Senate Bill 39, an act relating to Memorial Scholarship Loans, has a zero fiscal note. All members of the Finance Committee have indicated that they're fine with waiving this particular bill. It passed with no opposition in the other body and had four due passes in its previous committee of referral.
Without objection, that bill will be waived from the Finance Committee. Further unfinished business. This brings us down to committee announcements. Are there committee announcements? General announcements, Representative Porter.
Sorry, Madam Speaker. Under committee announcements, the Judiciary Committee will meet at 1 o'clock to hear half of the bills, probably, that are on the schedule for today, and will continue its meeting from today to 11 o'clock Saturday to complete the schedule.
Representative Robinson?
Yeah, just under general announcements. I just wanted to remind everybody that tonight is the Aware Spaghetti Feed, and it's definitely a really nice opportunity to bring you and your family and get a good meal. And I know the Chief of Police and I are going to be serving, and I'm not sure who else is going to serve, but it starts at 5 and goes until 7. And it's over at the Northern Lights Church, which is over at 411th Street. And hope that many of the members can stop in real quickly and support the program. Thanks.
Further announcements? Representative Cabina?
I'd like to remind you the Minority Caucus at 4:30, the Butchvitz Room.
Mr. Majority Leader?
At ease.
House stand at ease. Bryce?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd also like to remind the members about the Cancer Society's fundraising auction tonight with the Unholy Alliance. I would appreciate everybody's attendance. I believe I've even had to go around and strong-arm a few of you people to make sure we get 100% donation from your offices. And please come help address one of major problems in our state these days. Thank you. That's at the penthouse.
Further announcements? This brings us to special orders, and we have very special orders today. Representative Porter.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Request the permission of the body to speak on dress code.
Without objection, Representative Porter.
Madam Speaker, I would like to tell you that this attire is a statement. I would like to tell you that this attire is a statement because I firmly believe that our dress code is sexually discriminatory. I look around the room to our female members and see comfortable neck attire. I look around at the male members and I see, yes! Madam Speaker, all of my adult life I have been required, because of one code or another, to wear that strangulation device called a male tie. And I would like to say that this statement should be referred to the appropriate committee for review to determine whether or not this body is going to continue to maintain its practice of sexual discrimination in its dress code. Now, I would like to tell you all that, Madam Speaker, but the truth is I misread my schedule and I didn't think that there was session today.
Madam Speaker, thank you. On the same issue, if I may.
Without objection, Representative Martin, you have
I would like to motion and ask unanimous consent that Representative Porter can wear a dress anytime he wants.
Thank you.
Representative Bundy?
Yes, thank you, Madam Speaker, in the same intellectual vein.
Without objection, you have the floor.
Well, it was announced a spaghetti feed and an event at the penthouse. Perhaps if the distinguished member from Middle Anchorage would like to join me in either one of those, we could tie one on and he could vent his frustration.
Further debate under special orders. Representative Roakberg.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would suggest that the suggestion...
Representative Roakberg, your topic of
discussion? Oh, sorry, on the same subject.
Without objection, you have the floor.
Given the suggestion from the representative from District 20, I think it may have some merit, particularly given the collection of cravats from the representative from District 14.
Further discussion under special orders. Representative Ogun.
On the same subject, Madam Speaker.
Without objection, you have the floor.
I'd just like to make note that that's the most impassioned speech I've heard the representative from District 20 make all year.
Representative Finkelstein, are you seeking the floor? Representative Robinson.
Complete different subject, Madam Speaker. Actually, on the five favorite port of calls, and I don't know if many of you have read the April 17th edition of the Alaska Journal, but the Commerce reported on a Los Angeles Times survey that the five favorite port of calls, number one was St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands, number two was Venice, Italy, number three was Istanbul, Turkey, number four was Hong Kong, and number five, the only United States city to get chosen was Juneau, Alaska. And, anyway, just in case you didn't realize that you're in one of the most beautiful cities in the United States, here, our capital, I just wanted to let you know, and if you didn't know the reasons, the two main reasons that Juneau was chosen was for its scenic beauty and its wonderful shopping. What can I say? Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further special orders, Representative Bundy.
Yeah, Madam Speaker, on the same topic.
Without objection, you
have
the floor.
There was a third, but little known reason, and that is because when the tourists are here, the legislature is not in session.
Further special orders, Representative Cott.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. On the same subject,
without objection,
having been to Istanbul and never wanting to go back there again, I would have to question that particular study.
Further special orders, Representative Kelly.
On the same subject, Madam Speaker.
Without objection, you have the floor.
This doesn't mean our rent is going to go up, does it?
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, move and ask unanimous consent the House stand adjourned until 2 o'clock p.m. Saturday, April 22nd.
We are adjourned until 2 p.m. tomorrow.